The changing business world.
The biggest change that we're going through right now isn't even remote or hybrid or in office anymore. It's what is AI going to do to replace? And it is amazing.
The story of a local entrepreneur today in the Upper Cumberland.
Elaine Boyd, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
How did your interest in the workplace develop?
Well, when I was young, I just wanted to be a boss and wear cute outfits. So didn't know how that was going to look until I got older. But you never really know what you're going to do, I don't think. And now I've evolved into owning multiple tech companies and playing around with AI. So it has changed and evolved ever since I became a business owner 15 years ago.
It feels like that we say, you know, COVID was a changing event, that the fork in the road happened there. Were there things already starting to happen that kind of sped them up or exacerbated, or was it that much of a changing event?
For us as a team, it wasn't any different. We were already a completely remote team. We do have some team members here in Cookeville, but most of our team works remote and wherever they are. But our clients, things changed more rapidly. Some clients, they were already starting to try to be hybrid, work remote, but we exploded during that time as a company because everybody was forced to fast track that way. And so for us as a business, you know, a lot of businesses had hard times, but for us, we thrived through that area, which was really lucky for us.
There are those that say, my business doesn't fit working remote. Is that an excuse, or are there really some legitimate places that it doesn't work?
Well, of course, you know, if you're going to eat at a restaurant, you know, you want to have a waitress. But anybody in upper management that doesn't need to be on site, I think that could be, quote unquote, an excuse because they don't know, you know, what they don't know at that point. But I do wholesomely believe that a company can thrive working remotely in almost any industry with the right tech stack and the right mentality and culture.
With the right
tech stack.
So what is the right tech stack?
It's going to depend on the company, but you need to have a knowledge base that people can go to for answers, and it needs to be digital so you're not, you know, shipping things all over the world. If you're in any type of sales, you need to have a CRM and you need to have a project management system because you need to all have a place to communicate together and update each other, status updates, where are we at on this, and it all needs to be in one place. So without those things, you're doing a lot of text messages, a lot of phone calls, and you are just complete chaos. And so you're not going to thrive as a remote company.
What do you make of the current trend to bring those people who worked remotely during COVID back into the office?
You know, I can see both sides of the perspective. There is some benefits of being in the office when it comes to the culture and the bonding. You know, that is a place that you're with people a lot of times. And so what I like to see, if companies, you know, if that's your policy, you want to force people to go back to work in the office, okay, fine. But you can still have that bonding and that culture fit outside of being in an office. I'm seeing some companies save that to do retreats with their staff and fly them out somewhere instead of paying for an office and really getting feedback. I did find in my last company, myself and my co-founder, we prefer being a remote company. We have an office. It's available if you want to work out of an office. But we also found some employees prefer to be in office. And so for that, I think it's really important that you're asking and talking to your employees, because if they do prefer being in office and you have enough people in one area to provide that, then I think that might be something important if you want to keep those employees long term.
That's an interesting perspective, because I think we feel like that the option should just be there for the person who wants to work remote. Mm-hmm. But there are people who will tell you, I don't have the discipline to work on my own.
Absolutely. And I mean, I have a friend, she was working remote and she hated it. You know, she was like, I'm so lonely. I'm at home all day. And you realize how solo things are, and that, sure, you might be able to get laundry done. You might be able to go do this, but it is quite lonely. And you start to close in and your world becomes much smaller when you don't have those. And that also can play into what type of tech stack, what software platforms your company has, because if it does feel like you're working in a silo, then that mentality starts to get really small for employees and that wears on them.
We're talking to Elaine Boyd. We'll find out more about her particular company, but she's also right here in the Upper Cumberland, one of the experts on the changing workplace that we're all dealing with. We continue. Elaine Boyd is our guest. Tell me about your company.
My company, we call ourselves Workday Ninja, and we help companies that want to put in AI or automation, automate their workflows. What are you looking at doing manually? And so we help go in and put those automated processes in place. And then we also have a software platform called Arvo for creating standard operating procedures, training, documents, even some sales materials, all digitally, all really accessible for teams and in a play, in a way that millennials and Gen Z want to look at it.
We need to talk more about millennials and Gen Zs in just a moment, because I'm sure there are a lot of business people out there that say, oh, millennials and Gen Zs. But you mentioned procedures, and one of the more interesting things for me personally as a business owner that came out of COVID was a realization that you really need good procedures in place, because you don't ever know when the guy who is the sales manager might need to run the payroll, because there's nobody else in the building to do that, as was the case in COVID.
Yeah. You have institutional knowledge with one employee, and that is not transferable if they're not there. And so that documentation piece, and actually we built Arvo because of what we saw a need in the market, because of these cases where people need to have information that is digital. They don't need to be emailing PDFs back and forth wondering if they have the most up-to-date version or not. But when you're dealing with millennials and Gen Z, they don't want to read a long Google Doc or Word document. You know, they're not going to read black and white text. We're used to looking at our phones and apps, and everything is so digitally pleasing. And so that was one of the things that came out of COVID, was like companies have to change how they're operating, and documentation is one of the number one things in doing that.
Companies have to change how they're doing things. Is there a responsibility among employees to change what their expectations are?
Not necessarily. As a business owner, you're running the ship. Now, you have to build a culture around it, and you want your culture to thrive. And, you know, you don't want, if we're talking about business processes here, you don't want to be the business owner that has to write every business process. Like, you'll never get done. So you do want to have people with the expectation, I am part of this and I can help build the processes, especially like you mentioned, like the bookkeeper. If they're not there and you've got now a sales guy having to run payroll, you don't want to be the person that is scrambling. So you're part of that ecosystem to build out that knowledge base for your company. And every person there is a part of that.
The generation gap, which is a term that's been there for however long, maybe as long as there have been workplaces, right? But the generation gap between those in their 40s and 50s and those that are younger, it feels like today it's greater than ever as it relates to workplace and communication and how they think. You're in this every day. Is that true, or is that just recency bias maybe?
You know, I think there is definitely some truth to it, and things, you know, I'm in the range of the older millennial. I'm on the edge of that. And, you know, we do look and we're like, man, they're just so different. Like these Gen Zs, like they just want everything handed to them. But on the other side, they do look at things in a different way. And it's almost where I think I have animosity, like, man, I wish I would have been that had set those many boundaries when I was that age. And where I think older generations were maybe taken advantage of, because we want to work hard and we want to do good, and that's how you succeed here in the United States. That's how you keep doing it. The younger generations are like, no, I want work-life balance. And that actually means I don't work all the time and I'm not going to do it. And I can respect that, because at this point in my life, I don't want to work all the time. And so I think that there's some learning there that we can do. And also we have to just change on how we think about things. You know, if they don't want to read long documents, then how can we as business owners still provide learning to them that they're going to do? And because we still have to make money.
So since you're on that edge, I think you bring up a fascinating point, and we'll just put you on the spot.
Sure.
So, okay, you want your work-life balance. That's fine. I'm not saying you, but this person we're talking about, they want the work-life balance. Okay, nothing wrong with that. But then why do you expect to make the same as the person who does want to put in 80 hours a week? How do you come down on that?
Well, I think there's opportunity for the people that do work that hard. You know, maybe you do make the same amount in the same job that you're in right now, but the opportunities for them to move up are going to be vastly different. You know, you're going to want the manager to promote them for the job that they're already starting to be proactive about, that they're working those long hours, they're problem solving. The other side is that I never don't necessarily want a workhorse. Just because you can rock at getting tasks done doesn't mean that you need to keep moving up. Maybe you're just really good at what you're doing. And so, you know, I think that's where things come into play and how you do bonuses or how you do promotions. And I think it's okay if somebody doesn't want to work all the time and they just want to put in their 40 hours, then that's the job they're going to stay in as long as they keep doing a good job in those hours that they're working.
But do you think, and this is a broad generalization, I understand that, but do you think there is a realization among those Gen Zs and millennials that, okay, if I want to set the boundary, then just understand that I am limiting my ability to get a promotion, to maybe make more money. I should certainly get raises and bonuses, but maybe not at the same level as that person who's working on this other edge that we're talking about.
Honestly, and I can only speak for the experiences that I'm having. They would rather give those up. And we have some people, like we hire remote people all over the country. We have a guy in Arizona. I only want to work 30 hours per week. That's it. I do not want to work more. And he's happy making what he makes, and he does a great job. So I had to really change my perspective just because I'm not wired that way. I want to keep on growing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I had to learn not to put my projections of what I believe on them. And if that's what they're happy, and we have a lady here in town, she's worked for us for years. She is perfectly happy working minimal hours, making a great hourly pay, and she rocks. And so we're happy to accommodate.
Elaine Boyd is our guest. We're talking about the changing workplace. Elaine Boyd is our guest. What do you say to the person, Elaine, who says, you know what? You just can't trust people to work on their own. You can't trust people to get the job done at home. I'm sure you hear that.
I do. And, you know, I always go back to if they're not going to work, they're not going to work. You know, you need to have some checks and balances in place. And that's why I think that I operate with a tech stack. We have everything in place. If they're not working, whether it's at home or it's in the office, they're done. We're going to let them go. But we have things in place, and I'm not, you know, watching them all day, but they have to give us updates in our project management system. We have to see that they're completing things, and we can also see what hours they're working, where are those hours dedicated to. And if they're not going to work at home, then they're not a right fit for the organization. So just make sure if you just give somebody a phone and you say, and a laptop, and you say, hey, you can work from home now, we'll see you later, they're probably going to do all the other things other than work. But if you give them systems that they can work in and they can continue being a part of the company, then I don't see that there's anything wrong with that.
The work that you do in your own company and then the leadership that you provide to multiple industries across the country, is there an appreciable difference between the work that gets done in a remote location versus what gets done in an office? Or is it pretty much the same, which I guess would be the outcome that you really want?
We see it as the same, and I'll say, too, that we do help companies all over the world. I mean, one of our long-term clients is in Australia, and what we've really seen is that they just want to have people doing their work, and they've really started hiring wherever they can find the best person for the job. And that's not just our company. That's what we're seeing across the world with companies. And it is leveling the playing field for companies because you're no longer limited just by what you're hiring in, you know, the Upper Cumberland or wherever you are. And so they are able to do just the same amount of work, and people are happy to work in those locations than having to necessarily go in an office. I mean, if you think about if you're in Nashville, the commute time that you have, and people, you know, they start to say, I don't want to commute for 2 hours. I want to be with my family those 2 hours. And they will work hard because they don't want that privilege to be taken away from them. And so, you know, I think every company is different, but I definitely think that there is a ton of respect for the people that do want to work from home and that the same job can be done either way.
Let me throw it at you this way. I kind of feel like that maybe there's a bias among some business owners and managers in that they think, well, people are going to take advantage. But people take advantage working in an office. You know, we all have met the person that takes the multiple coffee breaks and, you know, is never at his or her desk or is always calling in sick or taking off. It's just, that's part of human nature, isn't it?
It is. Or you have your family come in and eat at the restaurant and you let them all eat free. You know, all of these things can happen, like you're saying, either way. And the checks and balances are really important on that. And even like you're saying, like if we use Slack, it's a messaging app. If people aren't responding and this is going to be a continuing issue, then you do start to wonder, well, are they working? Are they producing anything? Okay, well, they're not responding to us here. Let's start digging in a little bit more. And so you can find out if they're doing their job or not. And sometimes it's easier. If they're in sales, then you can see, well, they're not selling anything, you know, so sometimes it's easier.
What do you see down the line? What do you look in your crystal ball and see how the workforce will continue to evolve, say, 10 years from now?
The biggest change that we're going through right now isn't even remote or hybrid or in office anymore. It's what is AI going to do to replace? And it is amazing. I mean, my business partner and I this morning were looking at some new tools that we can offer for free for businesses to go in. And we came up with some awesome ideas. And even through just us brainstorming how we can give free tools to businesses to use, we came up with ways to improve our team. And so we're looking at profitability and helping our team. And it's not always just about profitability. Let me step back a second. You want your work days to be easier. You want your team to feel like they rocked that day. And so we found using AI, we were able to decrease somebody's workload by 2 hours in one task, just by two. Like, that's phenomenal. They can then, instead of having to like dig through and come up with ideas, they can use AI to plot out what they need to do, and then they can go and build it. And that's, we just fast-tracked 2 hours. Now we're even more profitable. And so we see profitability going from 30% to closer to 70%. For a business, man, that's substantial. And then people's work days being easier, that employee can just be happy with the work that they're being done, that they're getting done. They're not having to do tedious manual entry where you take something from the CRM and then you give it to your account management team and you've got to write all this out and bring it from one system to another. Nobody wants to do that. They do it because they either have to or they have an assistant do it. But, you know, how could we improve? And I think that's the biggest changes we're going to see is the companies that jump on board in the next 6 months. Fast forward 10 years, data entry jobs are not going to be non-existent because the businesses that are still trying to do that aren't going to be able to be cost effective.
What about the fear that it is taking jobs away, about the fear of it being used for the wrong reasons, which are, to me, kind of the two things you hear about AI?
Sure. And I think, you know, there's some fears I have. You know, I think when it comes, especially when video can be the mouth of somebody and the sound that are the words that are coming out of their mouth can be changed by AI and it looks exactly like the person and how they sound. That's very scary. But the other side of it, losing jobs, I mean, you and I were talking beforehand and, you know, about the Industrial Revolution. Yes, there's going to be some jobs that get replaced. Right now, I wouldn't go as far to say that it's going to replace anybody's job, but it's going to make people's jobs easier. It's going to take out the boring parts and that they could maximize being actually skilled at something. But with anything, any type of big revolution like we're having now, you have to keep adapting. And this is just one of those things. I'm very happy that I'm in the tech world because I'm at the leading part. I speak on AI and automation constantly. And that is where I'm really happy that I'm in this, but that's how we just have to adapt. Businesses need to adapt just like we have every 20 years for the last 150 years.
We're talking to Elaine Boyd as we talk about changes in the workplace. Elaine Boyd, it sounds like adaptability might be the word you would leave us with as it relates to the workplace of today and where we're going.
I love that word, and I use that word often, even just within my family dynamic. Like, we have to be adaptable. We have to be willing to change, or we're going to be lost behind. So I think that's a great way to sum it up.
Tell us how we can find out more about your company and then the technology that you're involved in creating.
So you can go to workdayninja.com. That's my services company where we do AI and automation. My software platform that is for SOPs and training is called Arvo, askarvo.com. And I'm very active on LinkedIn. You can find me at Elaine Boyd on LinkedIn.
And again, she's doing it from right here in the Upper Cumberland.
That's right.
That's so cool. Elaine Boyd, thank you for spending some time with us today.
Thank you, Larry.